Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, my friend, if you're listening, my buddy, I just want to thank you so much for the incredible honor and opportunity of filling in for you today. Michael is off, getting his batteries a little bit recharged, but he will definitely be back and raring to go. To all of you out there, I am Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times. Please go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest important sizzling stories. Let me just read a couple before I get to the main issue of this segment. Muslim Brotherhood orchestrates protests in Syria. As Bashar Assad is massacring pro-democracy protesters, the Muslim Brotherhood, having just won a great triumph in Egypt, backed by Iran, is now calling for its grip to expand even in Syria. Interesting. Another story on michaelsavage.com. New documents just released. Officials warned Obama's father to stop his playboy ways. In other words, the dear leader's father was a playboy, a womanizer, and a polygamist. But you won't hear the mainstream media talk about that. No. We don't want to talk about wars in the Middle East. We don't want to talk about Obama's silence on Syria. We don't want to talk about what's going on with his the secrecy and the mystery that shrouds this man's background and everything about him. No, that would be the press doing its job. We can't have that in modern day liberal America. No, not an Obama nation. Because in the world that we live in today of a celebrity culture, you can't ask these kinds of tough probing questions. Today, all across America, all across Britain, all across the world, what did people do? They got up in America, tens of millions at the crack of dawn, to watch the royal wedding. Wills and Kate get married. Prince William, Wills, as they call him in Britain. And so this fairy tale of these two people getting married is what Americans were watching on television, glued to their TV set. MS Left BC, the Clinton News Network, Fox News, NBC, CBS, wall-to-wall coverage. They send everybody down there to cover this. You would think it's the most you would think it's the second coming of Christ. The way there are so many TV cameras out there. A million people in London lined the streets. But I have to be honest with you, members of the Savage Nation. Many of you know that I have filled in for Michael in the past, and that in my column in the Washington Times, I have championed and taken up his cause. Today, while people were gawking at the royal family, looking at Kate Middleton's dress, talking about, is Prince William sexy or not? Does he look royal enough? Is this going to be another Lady Di, Prince Charles scenario? Is she good enough to be now Princess Catherine, her new title? Is the House of Windsor resurrected after this wedding? I was thinking of one man. I was thinking of Michael Savage. Because what I cannot forget, and what this whole fairy tale cannot mask, is the rot at the heart of England. Because England has banned a man. England's government has deliberately targeted one patriotic American, Michael Savage. For what crime, I ask you? Has he been sponsoring terrorism? Has he called out for violence? Has he done anything against the interests of Britain or America or the West? No. They have sought to criminalize this man and put a target on his back, putting him on a national blacklist alongside Muslim terrorists who have killed innocent Jewish children and women, alongside neo-Nazis, alongside Russian gangsters, murderers, because he champions language, borders, and culture. The very things that Britain is losing. In mosque after mosque in East London, jihadists have been calling for a holy war against Britain and the West. Even today, Britain's sacred day, this wonderful day of Kate and Wills getting married, Muslim organization after Muslim community leader after Muslim community leader has come out and said, we want the monarchy to go. We don't believe in the Church of England with the monarch at its head. We want a caliphate. We want Sharia law. We want an Islamic Britain. And so as honor killings rise in England, as they are no longer able to control their borders, as now if you walk the streets of London, as I often do when I travel there, you listen to foreign languages, all of them, most of them from the Middle East, from Pakistan, from India, from Afghanistan, from every Middle Eastern, North African country. You can't hear English in England, but you can hear every other language in England. As they lose their national identity, what do they have left? A bankrupt, corrupt royal family. What I can't believe is that Americans are actually looking upon these elites, looking upon these two princess and princesses wannabes as what? Heroes? Idols? And look at the fawning mainstream media. This to me is unbelievable. We are now in three wars. American troops are dying in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya. There is now butchery on the streets of Damascus in Syria. People are going house to house. Assad's secret agents and military are going house to house, shooting women and children right in the head, right there on the streets. The dear leader is nowhere to be seen. Our con man in chief, our Marxist in chief. I'm thinking, where's the guy with the silver hair? Where's the guy with the silver hair, Anderson Cooper, who ran around in Egypt? If you remember, he was in Cairo praising the Muslim Brotherhood, praising democracy, praising the fact that our great ally, Hosni Mubarak, had fallen. Where is he now?
We're also here with Vera Wang is joining us in New York. She's watching this as long. Vera, do you expect the dress to be anything like the dress Diana wore, which is sort of this meringue of a dress?
Oh my God, I'm getting very critical now.
That's where he is. He's not in Tripoli. That's where he is. He's now talking about Lady Diana's dress and how to Kate Middleton's dress compared to Lady Diana's dress. Is it going to show too much of a collarbone, according to Anderson Cooper, the guy with the silver hair? That's the big question on the minds of the mainstream media. And so my question to you is this. What does it say about a country, a culture, and a civilization that a patriot like Michael Savage is banned and there is not a peep from the American mainstream media? Not a peep. Not a peep. But when it comes to these two charlatans getting married, suddenly there is wall-to-wall coverage. What does this say about us as a culture and a civilization that with Islamic jihadism on the rise, with England now littered with radical mosques, we are burying our heads in the sand, in the television, looking at a fairy tale wedding of a world that is dying. The monarchy is dead. Rule Britannia is dead. The old England is dead. It is now being replaced by the mosque, the crescent, and the jihadist. But you won't hear that from the mainstream media. What do you make of today's royal wedding? Did you watch it? Do you care? And ultimately, do you think this shows a lack of seriousness in the West, in Britain, and America, that we no longer have what it takes to stand up to Islamic fascism? This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. We'll be right back after this break on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
She's getting in.
Oh, yes, that's her, but we didn't see her.
Is it her or is it her?
That is her.
That's her. Look at the train on that. That is a big train. We may be heading to Meringue too, Anderson.
No, but it's very slim fitting, look. They're not having to shove it.
You know what? It's all about that neckline with Kate, that V-neck, which she loves, because she loves to show her her collarbones.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. There was our fearless American media. That can you see her collarbones? I don't know. Can you? I don't know. Can I? You know, I have to be honest with you. I am an American Republican, small r, through and through. I don't care for monarchy. I never cared for monarchy. In fact, I was raised in a family where we despised aristocrats and kings and princes. Maybe it's my peasant genes. Maybe it's my peasant roots. I don't know. What I can just tell you is this. Any family as defunct, dysfunctional, and corrupt as the Windsor family, the House of Windsor, I look at all of them. The old bag, Queen Victoria. But to me, the number one, Prince Charles. Who the hell leaves Lady Diana for that other old bag, Camilla? This to me is unbelievable. I looked at Lady Diana. This woman was about media cover-ups in America. The way the media covered up for Lady Diana, sorry, Princess Diana, the late Saint Diana. She would go out once or twice a year, see some poor leper in India, tap him on the head. There's the media taking all these shots. And then she goes back and she's passed. Is this the royal family? This is what we have to bow down to? And so we got rid of that defunct, dysfunctional, frankly, criminal institution 235 years ago. We settled that here in America. We don't bow to no man. Certainly not these frauds and charlatans in Westminster Abbey. But today, millions of Americans were watching. Millions of Americans were glued. And there's the guy with the silver hair, Anderson Cooper. He's not running around Cairo anymore. No. Today he's running around London gawking over Kate Middleton's dress. Do you care? What does this say about us as a civilization? That as England is being overrun by Islamofascists, as jihadists are spreading everywhere, as Michael Savage is banned from entering that country, they're watching a fairy tale. Are we destined to lose? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Jennifer in Delaware. Jennifer, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. You're my favorite guest host. You just said that bag, Queen Victoria. I think you meant Elizabeth.
She looks like Queen Victoria. You're right, Queen Elizabeth. Forgive me. Sorry about that. She looks like she's Queen Victoria. She's so old. But sorry, go.
I can understand.
What is she, 200? But anyway, sorry.
I can understand everyone's fascination, because there is no good news anywhere. Everything is horrible. And people kind of need to escape. And they do kind of like Wills and Harry. You can't blame them. There is no good. There is no good anywhere. Everything's going horribly wrong, and the world's going to end in 22 days.
Jennifer, you nailed it. Look, I think this is my theory. What do we have to admire in America anymore? Lindsay Lohan? Charlie Sheen? Britney Spears? Our president? I mean, we have no more leaders in America. We have nothing to admire anymore. Gas is at nearly $5 a gallon. We are now literally in one of the worst recessions since the 1930s. Unemployment is at 9%. This government in 27 months, have written $3.7 trillion in checks against a bank account that has no money. We have spent $3.7 trillion just in the last 3 months, in the last 3 years on the deficit. We are going bankrupt. So people are so depressed. There's nothing to look forward to anymore. So we can't escape through Hollywood. We can't escape through reality television. We can't escape through here in America. There's nothing to admire. Well, at least we have something to be happy about. Wills and Kate are getting married. My friends, what does this say about us? What does this say about England? What does this say about the West? Why would people care that these two people are getting married? For an outdated, antiquated institution. It's finished. I have news for them. This thing's not going to last another 20, 30 years. You're going... Listen, there's only going to be one monarch, and that's going to be Prophet Muhammad. In Britain, in the next 30 to 40 years, believe me, oh, they like monarchy in the Arab world. They like a caliphate. They like a sultan. But this House of Windsor stuff, their days are numbered. Enjoy it, my friends. Because I think that's the last royal wedding we're going to see for an awfully long time in rural Britannia. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Hair up or hair down? I can't tell from here.
I don't think this is Sarah Burton.
We were told it would be hair down.
Okay.
I don't know why I even know that.
Guys, what's the big seller here at the bar right now?
Cider.
Cider? People are going crazy for the cider?
Yes, really. They are crazy. They are very crazy for today.
Has it been a big selling, a big drinking crowd?
Well, really, we got the many, many people. They are drinking a lot. So it's a lovely, nice party today.
They know how to celebrate.
They're always drinking a lot in Britain. What are you talking about? It's nothing unusual. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Do you think it's time to get rid of the monarchy? Do you look at today's spectacle and say to yourself like I do, you mean to tell me the people of Britain give the royals billions of dollars a year in tax breaks and make these people the most famous people in England for what? To have tea and cucumber sandwiches with foreign dignitaries? So people are looking out. You see this geek, Prince William, whatever, Wills, whatever they call him. I see him in his uniform, awkward, geeky, with Kate Middleton. Princess Catherine, excuse me. She's got a title now, Princess Catherine. And this ridiculous kiss. They both, to me, look absolutely ridiculous. People are waving these British flags. And I'm asking myself, for what? So now this woman, Kate Middleton, has married into this dysfunctional family. To me, that family is white trash with billions of dollars and a few phony titles. It's trailer trash. That's what it is with a fancy title. That's all. That's what it is. So she's going to sit at a table. Can you imagine the table? Can you imagine the family table when these guys sit around for Christmas dinner? Now think of this. You got old bag number one, Queen Elizabeth, Victoria Elizabeth, whatever, okay? Hitting 200 years old. She's there with her philandering husband, whatever he is, the other prince who keeps fooling around on her, but she bears it with a stiff upper lip. Then you have Charles with the other old bag, Camilla, who he left Princess Diana for her, okay? So there they are, Prince Charles with nothing between his ears, who talks about architecture and the environment all day. And then there's this couple. This is your royal family? The problem with Britain's monarchy is this. They are no longer monarchs. Old style monarchs were meant to serve the state and their people. That's what it used to mean. To be a member of a royal family is a life of ceaseless service and duty. Today, they are just celebrities. That's it. That's all. So if you're going to just be a celebrity, my argument is a simple one. At least earn it. Hey, say what you want about Obama, about Madonna. She's got to go on stage and earn her money. Say what you want about Charlie Sheen. He may snort half of Columbia up his nose, but he's got to go and at least produce a television show that people watch. No matter how bad it is, it's there. He's got to show up and punch a clock. Hey, he's creating jobs. He's doing something. But this, I mean, to me, they are the very definition of parasites. They're the ultimate welfare queens and kings. And so my question to you is this. Is it time to finally get rid of the monarchy? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to our jam-packed phone lines. Let's go to Justin in Sarasota, Florida. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I just want to say I agree with most of what you're saying, but what we saw today was a positive example of marriage and in the church that's done more for the 2 billion people that have watched than our government knocking down the DOMA.
Justin, I got to be honest with you. I like weddings. I'm a sentimental guy. My wife loves weddings. In fact, she loved this wedding. She also loves the royal family. I've noticed that a lot of women in particular like this wedding, like weddings in general. My wife always comments on dresses and likes to see people get married. I'm the kind of guy, I hate to say this, but I'm always the skunk at the party. Never invite me to your wedding because I sit down. We were at a wedding just last year, close friends. I sat down. My wife is all emotional, teary-eyed. There's the confetti. There's the dress. Oh, my God, he's so handsome. This thing is going to work. I said to her, this is not going to work. I'm sorry to tell you this. I see him. I see a guy who's too young, too immature. He's not ready to get married. And I see a girl who's frankly desperate. And when they have to actually learn to live together, they're not going to be able to make it work. I said to her, I give this thing 3 to 5 years tops. I'm sorry. I said, you know, honey, I'm sorry. I don't want to spoil your party here. I know you're all in a good mood. I give this thing 3 to 5 years tops. And it saddens me because I look at many weddings and I say, I want it to work. In fact, I believe it's a holy sacrament as a Christian and as a Catholic. I believe it's something very sacred to stand in front of the altar, in front of your peers, in front of your family members, in the eyes of God and in church, and in front of everybody, make vows to love each other eternally, sickness and in health, for rich or for poor, good times or bad times. It's the most sacred vow a person can make. That's why I have to tell you, I don't respect people who break those vows. I take marriage very seriously. If you want to play the field, if you want to be like Obama's father, just go to michaelsavage.com. It's right there at the top. If you want to be like Obama's father, if you want to be a playboy, if you want to be a womanizer, then be a playboy and be a womanizer, but don't get married. Don't do that to somebody you've pledged your eternal loyalty and fidelity to, because then I don't respect you. So yes, I understand the feeling in middle America. Marriage is under assault. The family is under assault. It's beautiful. It's a fairy tale. But here's the reality. Father, dysfunctional life, divorce. In Britain, most people don't even get married, and those that do usually end in divorce. They've lived together for I don't know how many years, and that's the other point. I don't watch these things very much, but it's part of my job, so I have to follow this a little bit. I remember the Lady Diana Prince Charles wedding. I remember that. My mother actually got up, it was at 3 in the morning, woke everybody in the house. She had to see it, glued to the television. There was a mystique. There was a beauty. There was a promise, a hope in that wedding that is not there today. It's a very different Britain today. It's a very different royal family today. Look, go back on YouTube. Look at that wedding between Prince Charles and Lady Diana. And you want to know what the difference was? I'm going to sound old-fashioned. I'm going to sound chauvinistic. I'm going to sound like your grandfather or your uncle. But it's the truth. Lady Diana was a virgin. It was an issue. People talked about it. The press talked about it. She was waiting for her Mr. Right. It was a true fairy tale. She was saving herself. And we thought he was saving himself for her. Obviously, that was, he's a liar and a charlatan. And we know that now, like most of these people in the royal family. But the point is, she was saving herself for him. She was going to marry the state. She was going to marry England. She was going to be their princess. And instead, she turned into another cheap celebrity. And she ends up, how? Not only divorced, but she ends up dying in a Mercedes. And I ask you, I asked this question then, nobody was able to answer it. What the hell was the mother of the future King of England doing in Paris? You have no sense of dignity? You have no sense of decorum? You have no sense of self-respect? So here you have a very modern couple. They've shacked up together for 4 or 5 years. He's been training her to be media savvy. That's, he's given that reason explicitly. That's why we've waited this long. Because I want her to see if she can actually be a good royal in a modern media age. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you embody the highest ideals of your country? Will you stand for rule Britannia? God, country, and family. I didn't see that today. What I saw was just another slick, fancy wedding. That's it. And my prediction, I'm going to be the skunk at the wedding. I give this 5 years. Give or take a year, I give this baby 5 years. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Tom in New York. Tom, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff Cooner filling in God's American patriot, Michael Savage. That's red, white, and blue dynamite, baby.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom. What's on your mind, buddy?
God bless you. Jeff, we got to pull some positives from the royal wedding today. We understand that England is basically a safe haven for radical Islam and a land of the freakazoids. But maybe Kate and William, who did serve in their military, can be beacons for traditional marriage. Thank God it wasn't two men being married or two women. And also, there was no security breach today, Jeff. Maybe England is getting their act together and realize the danger they're in.
Thank you for that call, Tom. No, I mean, that's the thing. Did you notice nobody crashed that wedding? Here you can't throw a state dinner here in Washington without somebody crashing it. But I'm looking to be offended. It's a man and a woman. That's offensive. That's so intolerant. How can you celebrate such an antiquated institution like a marriage between a man and a woman? How can you do that? I have been to England. I never like to go to England. I only go when I have to go. It's the only country in Europe I really don't like going to. Why? When I go to England, nobody brushes their teeth. I'm serious. There's no dental hygiene. Nobody goes to the dentist. Nobody brushes. They have Colgate. They have Crest. They don't use it. And I began to figure it out. I really did. In all across continental Europe, they have this custom. When you greet somebody, especially a man and a woman, doesn't matter, friend, anything, you kiss on both cheeks. In England, they only kiss on one cheek. We have that tradition too here in America. We got it from the British. You know why? Because their mouth smells so bad. I swear to you. Move, kiss, and get out of the way. Kiss and move. Everywhere I go, poor dental hygiene, the food, don't even talk about it. The food, I mean, there's no taste buds. It is horrible. Horrible. I thank the Lord whenever I'm there for junk food. I never eat it when I'm here. When I'm there, that's all I eat. That's all I eat. I'm telling you, that's how bad England is. Drunkenness, Go to a pub in Britain. Everybody's hammered. Everybody's plastered. So when this guy says we're throwing a party here, people are drinking at 7, 8 in the morning, we're all getting smashed. I'm like, hey, I'm watching this. I'm said, and what's the news here? What's the, this is a typical day. I am telling you, England is finished. The only question is, are we? Let's go to Nick in San Antonio, Texas. Nick, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you so much, Mr. Cooner. You see, Michael Savage and you have made a very important point about the whole royalty thing. They have no merit to them. That's what should determine a ruling party or ruling class. My family is second-generation Greek immigrants straight out of the homeland on the complete opposite end of the continent. And we tell stories of history about how our last emperor, who gave his life to save the people that was of the city, the Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul, the Islamic jihadist Ottoman Empire, was laying siege to it. And the emperor, Constantine the 11th, the last thing he said was, the city has fallen, and I am still alive. He tears off the imperial regalia that distinguishes him from the rest of his soldiers, and he charges, screaming, headfirst into the battle with the last of his people, and dies there, a common man, amongst his subjects. When I see that, I see a ruler. I see two celebrities on TV. They're not rulers.
You don't know
anything about government.
You nailed it. Nick, you so nailed it. I'm telling you, this is the call of the hour. Thank you so much, Nick. This is what kings used to be. King Charlemagne. You talk about the great Constantine. I can go on and on. Richard the Lionheart, the great British English king who led the Crusades and freed Jerusalem and took on the Islamic armies of the time. This is what made Europe great. This is what made the West great. They were leaders. They were men. They were patriots. Do you honestly see Prince Charles? You really think Prince Charles is going to lead some kind of an army if there's going to be another clash of civilizations? You honestly see that con man, that debauched con man with his old bag wife? You honestly think this guy is going to stand there and stand up against Islamofascism? He won't even say a peep. He won't even say a peep. In 2005, when there was a massive bombing in London, where was the royal family? Did they speak out against that act of Islamist terror? No. My friends, what we saw today was a cheap celebrity wedding. Nothing more and nothing less. I wish them the best. I hope they have many children. I hope they have a wonderful marriage. But I'm telling you, if they want to live their life in front of the public eye, they're going to be no different than any other celebrity. Look at Charlie Sheen. Look at the Kardashians. Look at Paris Hilton. That's all it was. Paris Hilton with a title. This is Jeff Cooner sitting for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Mark in Chicago. Mark, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I watched the wedding this morning because my insomnia kicked in. I was appalled. Gretchen Carlson was lamenting the fact that we don't have royalty monarchy, so we can't enjoy that in this country. At least that's what it sounded like to me from what she said.
Oh, listen, look, Mark, I'm not surprised. I've heard that from many people in the media. And to me, you want to understand why they love Obama so much. They see him as a modern day king. They see him as a modern day Marxist socialist emperor. You see, the media believes that you need an elite, a media elite, an economic elite, a political elite to control you. To control and run this country. This is what Americans don't understand. In 1776, this is why we're so special. This is why we were special then and we're special now. What we said is, ordinary people can run their own lives. We don't need elites to govern us and rule us and control us. They don't work, we don't work for them. They work for us. And this is something that the media is trying to destroy, our traditional Republican small r roots. So I'm not surprised. They look at Obama, they see a king. Look on the birth certificate issue. We're going to get that later on in the show. We're going to get into it. Look how they cover up for him at every turn. His college records, his health records, his academic records. They constantly cover up for this man like he's a modern day King George III. Like somehow we can't know anything that could possibly humiliate the emperor. How can we say the emperor has no clothes? So I'm not surprised that you heard people on Fox News, those airheads on Fox News, especially the morning crew to me is horrible. The morning crew to me on Fox News is an embarrassment. All of them. I've never seen such airheads, such lightweights in my life. So yes, they want the return of the monarchy. They are reds. They love communist red and they love the British redcoats. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight. I am filling in for him. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you, my friend, for the incredible honor and opportunity of filling in. I can't tell you how much I enjoy doing this show. What a wonderful audience you have. And Michael, I know everybody's looking forward to you coming back, my friend. Recharge your batteries. And I know you'll be back in top fighting form. Go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest must-read stories. And I got to tell you, these are stories you just will not find anywhere else. Anywhere else. Feds sting Amish farmer selling raw milk locally. Now just think of that for a second. Right on michaelsavage.com. These poor Amish. I've seen them a few times. I've gone to some Amish areas across this country. Pacifists, don't believe in violence, don't believe in modern utensils or electricity or anything like that. They lead very, very agrarian lives. These poor schmucks looking to make a few bucks to feed their families want to sell their raw milk to some of their local customers. Who are they hurting? Nobody. Not, but according to the dear leader, according to the nanny state, you can't do that. No. We have to control everything, even the amount of raw milk that you sell. I thought all these left-wingers were supposed to be organic. I thought all of them wanted all this sort of organic stuff. They keep pushing it down our throats. But now this poor Amish farmer, now he's the victim of a sting. Right there on michaelsavage.com, Belgium moves closer to burqa ban. So even Belgium is now thinking of banning the burqa. But my friends, they won't ban it in Britain. They'll ban Michael Savage. That they'll ban. No problem. but they won't ban the burqa. Not in Britain. And not that royal family that we saw today, that sham wedding, they're not going to ban a burqa. But this is the story I want to focus on, because I think it is the subject not only of this hour, but in many ways it is the subject of our time in American politics. If you go to michaelsavage.com, there's a story on the left-hand side. Trump drops F-bombs in attack on, quote, stupid leaders. Trump was in Las Vegas. And slowly but surely, his potential bid for the White House in 2012 is getting stronger and gaining momentum. And in that story, Trump comes out aggressively and calls our nation's leaders, quote, stupid. But what is the mainstream media jumping on? They're jumping on the fact that he used the F word. Oh, how dare he use the F word. He used the F word. He used the F word. How dare he use the F word. But when Clinton used the F word, when the dear leader uses the F word, oh, then he's tough. He's a macho man. He's tough. But when Trump uses the F word, he's out of control. He's violent. He's potentially violent. He could be a fascist. And what I find remarkable is this. I'm not talking now about Trump the man. Leave that aside. Because personality, character, to me is very important in deciding who should be president of the United States. So I don't want to talk about Trump. That's not the issue. The issue is not Trump the celebrity, Trump the personality, Trump the human being. I'm talking about Trump's policies. What Trump has been advocating. Have you noticed that he is the only nationalist Republican out there? And because of this, it's more than just the birth certificate issue. It's his nationalism that makes him such an anathema. And it is now not just the liberal mainstream media that is attacking him. They all loved him before. If you noticed, when he was giving all that money to Democratic candidates, they loved him. When he wrote that book in 2000 calling for national health insurance, they loved him. Oh, they love being on the Celebrity Apprentice. Oh, they loved it. Oh, they can't get enough of him. But now, when he attacks China, when he attacks OPEC, when he calls for imposing protective tariffs to protect our manufacturing and industrial base, when he says it is time to slash government spending and end this deficit and debt that is skyrocketing and slowly strangling this country. No, 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 no. Now, all of a sudden, he's beyond the pale. Now, all of a sudden, he doesn't have the experience to be president of the United States. That Marxist in chief who never held a real job in his life. Obama never even ran a lemonade stand. This guy never created one job in his entire life, never had a real private sector job. All it was is either government work, either he was a politician or some community organizer depending upon government handouts. That's it. He has never been in the real world in his life. What qualifications did he have to be president? But suddenly, no, Trump is politically inexperienced. But if you notice, it is not just the liberal mainstream media. The conservative establishment media has gone after Trump. He's now considered out beyond the pale, out of the mainstream. And so my question is a very simple one. What is it about his policies that are so out of the mainstream? What is it that he's advocating or arguing that is somehow so out of the mainstream? As many of you know, Michael Savage has had Trump on not once or twice, but on several occasions. They don't agree on everything. I don't agree with Trump on everything. I don't even agree with Michael on everything, although I agree with him, frankly, on most things. We are kindred spirits. We are ideological soulmates. But why has Trump come on? Why does he resonate with so many people in the American heartland? I believe the answer is this. He is a nationalist. He is somebody who is finally willing to stand up to the Chinese. Over the past 10 years, I never thought I would say this. It almost pains me for this to come out of my lips. We are in decline. The Chinese are on the march. They have now become the largest exporter in the world. They have become the second largest automaker and manufacturing power in the world. They are doing to us what we once did to Britain. They are building up an industrial giant and a military superpower. They are spending on their military. They have now bought up all of our debt, our foreign debt. As we borrow money, hand over fist, mortgaging and bankrupting the lives of our children and grandchildren, the Chinese are buying up our debt. We are becoming an economic colony of China. And now, the IMF has come out with a report just a couple days ago. I never thought I would even say this. By 2016, 5 years from now, China will be the largest economy in the world. It will be bigger than the United States. The era of America is over. The era of China is on the horizon. Members of the Savage Nation, can you still remember 1989 when the Berlin Wall fell down? Can you remember those faces on the Berlin Wall as they took hammers and they were smashing the cement, cheering deliriously? East Berlin had fallen. East Germany had fallen. Eastern Europe had fallen. 2 years later, the Soviet Union itself, the evil empire, collapsed under its own weight. We had won the Cold War. We had defeated the Soviet Empire. And now, 20 years later, the communists are not only back, they are on the verge of eclipsing the United States. And so when Trump comes out and says, I will stand up to the Chinese, I will tell them, stop manipulating your currency, I will slap a 25% tariff, and instead of losing wars, I am going to start winning wars. And I'm going to begin by saying to the Iraqis, we have spent $1.5 trillion. 4,400 of our soldiers have died. I want the oil. Do you understand that? You're going to pay for our war. You're going to pay for the fact that America sacrificed to liberate you. Because if you don't pay, Iran is going to come in and take your oil. And I will not allow that to happen. When he argues like this, like a nationalist, conservatives are now pounding him. Crothheimer, Charles Crothheimer, the dean of neoconservative columnists, the darling of Fox News, has said Donald Trump is the Al Sharpton of the conservative movement. Really? Here is what the Donald had to say in response. Boys,
roll it. The man's not taking the oil. Not if I'm president. We take the oil. And Charles said, oh, that's impractical. So honestly, Charles is a fool. He's a fool. I mean, I want to be respectful. He was very nice on the phone, but he's really a fool. They want to get some publicity off my back. I'm leading all of the polls, and he's just a sad fool.
I have to say, on this issue, I agree with Donald Trump. I believe that Karl Rove, Charles Crothheimer, the Club for Growth, the GOP elites, all of these people who are portraying Trump's potential candidacy as a joke are sorely mistaken. This man is not a joke. His economic nationalism is not a joke. My friends, high tariffs, low taxes, small government, a muscular foreign policy is what made America a superpower. Nationalism made us great. It can do so again. My question to you is this. Do you believe Donald Trump has a chance of winning the Republican nomination? And would you vote for him? 1-800-848-9222. 888-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I am really proud. I am really honored. Now we can talk about oil. We can talk about gasoline prices. We can talk about China ripping off this country. We can talk about OPEC doing numbers on us like nobody has ever done before. We can get on to issues. And hopefully, when I sit down with interviews, people don't start talking about birth certificate, like they've been doing.
This is Jeff Cooner from The Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Donald Trump is running on a nationalist platform, maybe. It looks increasingly like he's going to throw his hat in the ring. He is now talking about finally standing up to the Chinese. He is talking about winning our wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and Libya. And if we're going to fight, that at least the people we fight for should pay us for it. My question to you is this. Why is the conservative media establishment, the likes of Charles Krautheimer, why are they going after Donald Trump? Is it because they fear his nationalism? I want to know from you. Let's go to our busy phone lines. Michael in New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, the conservative, the elites, they're afraid of him. The conservative media, they're afraid of Donald Trump. They keep saying that he's giving money to Democrats. He's a big businessman in New York. If you don't give money to Democrats, you will not be a big city, big businessman in New York City. It's not going to work. He has to. That's part of the game. That's the way they play it. Why they're afraid of him? I guess because they'll be on the outs. They won't have they won't be the ruling elite anymore once Trump gets in.
Michael, no, you nailed it. Being in Washington D.C. in the belly of the beast, let me tell you what everybody knows. It's an open secret in this city. But nobody has the guts to say it. Our Congress, our politicians, our leaders in the White House, not just the dear leader, Bush, Clinton, Bush the daddy, all of them have been in the pocket of Beijing. It has been going on for 20 years. The most powerful foreign lobby group. It's not what people say, oh, it's the Israelis, it's AIPAC, it's the Saudis. No. It's the Chinese. Just look when the Chinese president, Hu Jintao, when he came to visit Washington. Forget the royal wedding. They threw out the red carpet for this guy. They threw him the most lavish, spectacular party I have ever seen. He was like an emperor. The Chinese have forced us to adopt a free trade policy that has benefited them at our expense. We are running $300 billion trade deficits every year. 6 million jobs alone we lost the last decade are manufacturing jobs. Our plants, our capital, everything is going to China. They are doing to us what we did to Britain. And nobody has the guts to stand up to the communists in Beijing except Donald Trump. The American people know that the political class in Washington has sold us down the river. They want a nationalist, and I believe that's why Trump is surging. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from The Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Why do you believe the establishment media, including many conservatives, are attacking Donald Trump? I want to hear from you, my friends. I have to be honest with you. I have written a column on this, I think about a week ago. What I see happening to me is very obvious. Of all of the major potential or actual candidates out there, Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee, although it looks increasingly he may not run, but let's just keep him in the picture. Romney, Huckabee, Newt Gingrich, Tim Pawlenty, all of the big sort of favorites that everybody is talking about, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, all of them are running as globalists. All of them are running as free traders. All of them are essentially not willing to stand up to all of these forces of economic globalization. The international socialists who have forced us into one bad trade deal after another. Have you noticed? Trump is the only one who says he's going to repeal NAFTA. I have said it before and I will say it again. If you are truly serious about securing our border with Mexico, you can't just say you're against amnesty. You can't just say you want to put more troops along the border. You have to oppose NAFTA. Free trade leads to the loss of national sovereignty. When Ross Perot said and warned in 1992, another billionaire, another nationalist, when he said in that debate, you pass NAFTA, you're going to hear a giant sucking sound. He was ridiculed and mocked by the mainstream media. He was a kook. He was an economic protectionist. He was a country bumpkin. He didn't understand how the modern economy and the modern world works. We're all interconnected now. You don't understand. It's the way of the world. You can't stop it. We have lost millions of jobs. Go to New England. Go to the Midwest. Go to these small towns that were once thriving, the backbone of America. You think you're in a third world country. Shuttered factories. Buildings decrepit that used to make cars, that used to make steel, that used to make all of these wonderful products that made us the arsenal of democracy. Gone. Windows broken. Small towns devastated. Go to Detroit. This was once the symbol of American economic and industrial power. Ford, GM, Chrysler, all of those tanks, all of those planes, all of those Jeeps that were used to defeat Hitler in World War II came from Detroit. It is now a ghost, literally a ghost town. It is less than 700,000 people now live in Detroit. It's not even considered a major city anymore in the census. That's how many people have left. All the jobs are gone. Plants have relocated to Mexico. Plants have relocated to China. And why shouldn't they? Think about it. If you're a businessman, well, let me get this straight. I can go to Mexico or I can go to China, pay a buck an hour. In China, it's even slave labor. It's free. Put it right back into the United States because there's no tariff. So why should I keep the jobs in America? Why should I have to pay for the unions? Why should I have to pay for a decent wage? Why should I have to put up with all these environmental regulations? Why? I can just relocate to Mexico and China. We have lost our manufacturing base. The working class of this country, remember, these are the very same people the Democrats keep saying, we have to support, we have to support the working class. Tell me, if they really gave a damn about the working class, they'd tear up NAFTA today. If they gave a damn about the working class, they would go to China and say, no preferential treatment, no trade deal, 25% tariff. As Michael Savage calls for in his book, Trickle Up Poverty. We're going to finally get tough with you because it's time to put America first. My friends, the essence of conservatism is God, country, and family. It is nationalism. It is patriotism. It is love of one's own. Love of one's own family. Love of one's own country. Love of one's God. That is the essence of conservatism, and it has been for centuries. I look at all these phony conservatives. Where is a nationalist among them? Where is one that will finally say no to the special interests? No to Wall Street? No to international capital? I am not in anybody's pocket. I serve the American people. I put the American worker, the American businessman, the American manufacturer first and foremost. That used to be the Republican Party. Most people don't know this. Lincoln was a protectionist. Theodore Roosevelt was a protectionist. Calvin Coolidge was a protectionist. Even Reagan, when he had to, played hardball with our opponents on trade. Nobody would sell their country down the river the way we have for the last 20 years. So to me, I think it's very obvious. Trump is resonating with the heartland because the GOP elites, including the establishment conservative media at Fox News, care about money first and foremost. That's what they care about. Their conservatism ends with their wallet first and foremost. My conservatism is a little different. I put country first. And I think when a guy like the Donald comes out and says, you know what? I've made my billions. I'm not in anybody's pocket. It's about time we put America first. A lot of Republicans, a lot of independents, and a lot of conservatives are saying it's about time. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Joe in New York. Joe, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I agree with you 110%. And Donald Trump is just preaching to the choir as far as I'm concerned. I have everything that he says resonates with me. I'm upset. I'm ticked off at the way things have been going over the past few years, not just with Obama, but with Bush selling our country down the river, as you said, basically opening up the border with Mexico. And Mexico is slowly invading this country from within, as Michael Savage puts it in his book and everything. And I'm telling you, people are going to have to wake up. And Donald Trump, by him dropping the F-bomb, is just a way of doing it. And guess what? I mean, we need more of this to come out of him because it's going to get everyone to his base. And basically all the conservatives are going to have to stand in line and say, we got to support this guy. That's why the conservative media, even though they basically were against Obama, now they're sort of softening up to him. And they think that this guy's going to get reelected. And he's trying to play to the center, which is going to fail him. And that's why you see him down in Alabama right now. He's trying to play, like, you know, instead of what happened back with the gold spill, he's trying to get involved. But you see what's happening. His poll numbers have dropped. And basically, Trump is just putting him on a target. And that's what basically everyone's running for cover. And I think that Trump should keep him on the run and keep it going, keep the momentum building. And people start warming up to him that don't know about Trump, I guess, from the West Coast and from the Midwest. You know, the case, a lot of people here in New York know of Trump. He's a successful businessman. Anyone he has some hard times, he got himself up from it. And that's why I think he could possibly save money.
There you go. No, there you go. You nailed it. Joe, listen, look, this is what our founding fathers understood. Our founding fathers, George Washington, James Madison, Hamilton, Jefferson, were all men of economic independent means. They were wealthy in the context of their time. And what they argued was, you have to make your own money. And then you have to make enough of it so you will not be influenced by other people's money. You don't want to be bribed because you don't need to be bribed. This is why they argued, ultimately, you have to have a republic of men of independent means running it. Because then they will put the patriotic self-interest of their country first. So when Trump, he's the only one who says, you know what? I'm not stupid. I read the papers. I look around me. I got to order products. I got to order sheetrock. I got to buy curtains. I got to buy windows. I got to buy steel for my buildings. It's all being made in China. To me, what I find remarkable, do this. Don't even take my word for it. Go to Walmart. Go to your local Walmart. That to me is not an American company. That's a Chinese convenience store. That's a Chinese 7-Eleven. They should rename it China. Literally, whatever 7-Eleven is in Chinese, put it that on the. To me, I'd respect you more if you did that. Put that on your sign. Everything in Walmart is made in China. Clothes, baby shoes, you name it. Sneakers. I want to buy a pair of sneakers. I don't want to buy from China. I don't want to use slave labor. I can't buy a bloody pair of sneakers that's not made in China. Everything is made in China. So to me, when he says they are eating our lunch, we have sold our country down the river, He's speaking common sense. You can see it here in Washington. When Hu Jintao, I'll never forget this, came to Washington, he inspects our guard. He inspects our troops. Like somehow we have to pledge allegiance to him. You want to talk about bowing? You want to talk about these people in England today bowing to their prince and new princess? We were bowing to the Chinese. It wasn't just the dear leader. Everybody in his cabinet showed up when he came into town. It was like a conquering emperor. And why? Why is this tax cheat Tim Geithner kiss Hu Jintao's feet, lick his boots? Because all Hu Jintao has to do from Beijing is call up and say, you know what? We're going to sell your treasury bonds. We're going to sink the U.S. dollar. And we're finished. We are finished. We have allowed them to buy us. We're literally, Washington is full of political prostitutes. They have turned our country into a whore, a whorehouse. This is what they have done, shamelessly. So yes, now you see all of these supposed conservatives. He's talking tough against China. Oh my God, how dare he say the Iraqis should pay us for liberating their country? How dare they? It's impractical, according to Krautheimer. Oh, really? Let me ask you this, Charles. When you told us to go to Iraq, when the neocons told us this was going to be a cakewalk, where are you now? Because there are 4,400 American dead. I have met soldiers from the front, maimed, missing limbs. I met one remarkable young man, 21 years old, lost his leg in Iraq. He's going to have to live with that for the rest of his life. It's easy to get into a war. It's easy to flap your mouth. They told us we could bring democracy into the Middle East. I'm like, what are these people talking about? We're going to have nation building now? The government is going to create democracy where none existed for thousands of years? Are these people mad? Neoconservatism is leftism in disguise. Now, when a man says, hey, hold on, we want our money back. We want at least something for this. How could he say that? How could he say that? My friends, it is time for some straight talk. We have been betrayed. And what you are now seeing is a middle American revolution. And if the Republicans don't wake up, they're going to realize something. Trump may go third party. And if he goes third party, believe me, he's going to take a lot of people with him. 1-800-449-8255. Tom in Houston, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for putting me on. I think that Donald Trump is the only guy that can beat Barack Obama because he's the only guy that understands the media. He's got his own TV show. He understands the media. All these other guys, they'll have a press release. They'll think that they've said the greatest set of words ever said, and then they go to lunch. Donald Trump, if you Google Donald Trump, do it today, do it tomorrow, do it on Sunday, do it on Monday, every day, all day long, all day long. He has press releases. He understands the media wants to be fed. He's out there, not just with, you know, one topic. He's out there. He's peppering them. He's staying right on. He's like Eddie Arcaro. He breaks from the gate, and he immediately goes to the whip. It's exactly what the White House does. All these other guys can't be heard because they don't understand how to play the game.
Tom, you're right, but it's even more than that, my friend. He's obviously media savvy, but he's relentless. He is willing to take it to the president. He's not mealy-mouthed. He's not a middle-of-the-roader like Mitt Romney. He's not like Tim Pawlenty. He doesn't have to call a focus group and say, should I criticize him on the deficit? And how should I criticize him on it? I got to be careful with my tone. I got to calibrate my words just perfectly so it doesn't offend MS Left BC and the silver-haired guy, Anderson Cooper or John King. That's very important for these GOP candidates. Can't defend the liberal establishment. He's aggressive. He's bold. He's forceful. I think that's why many people are saying it's about time. It's about time somebody publicly said what we all know. The man in the White House is a Marxist socialist wannabe dictator who is destroying America piece by piece. My friends, if we do not wake up to the threat that exists among us, that there is a fifth column in America, in the White House, among our politicians, and in the media, I hate to say this, but our republic may be doomed. It's about time somebody woke up and said what we all know. It's time to throw the bums out. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Let's go to our blazing phone lines. Marilyn in Austin, Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I love you and I'm crazy about Michael. But
oh, thank
neither
you.
One of you have gotten to the basis of this whole problem.
Okay.
What about our unions? What about the groups of people that have made it so difficult to do business here in the United States as we used to do on a large scale? We have.
Oh, no, Marilyn, no, you're right. You're completely right. I mean, look, trade is one aspect of the problem. But the unions, and here is where I think Trump is weak. Often union saying anything that's come out in terms of a policy platform so far that is going to be tough on unions. Unions have destroyed American prosperity and American industrial power. I saw it personally. My uncle used to work at GM. I went through a GM plant. My uncle would show me every way, literally every place along the manufacturing process, how unions are obstructing technological innovation and change. They wouldn't hear of it. So the unions have forced companies to not adapt, to not innovate, to hold them back. They hold management hostage. They impose one regulation after another. It's the unions that are in bed with the Democrats. It's unions that call for higher taxes on the wealth creators. It's unions that impose all these regulations. It's unions, every step of the way, who have inhibited capital from flowing freely in the United States. So if you have to work with the AFL-CIO, if you have to work with the United Auto Workers, I ask you, how can you make money? You can't make money with these people. So all they've done, see, this is the myth of unionism. Everybody says, oh, a union's for a working man, for a working man. Really? Go to Detroit. Go to all these places where you have compulsory unionism. They have no jobs. Go to the states like South Carolina, where you have an open shop and a voluntary right to work. There's jobs everywhere. My friends, unionism leads to one thing, mass unemployment. I'm for the working man. That's why I'm for capitalism. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight, but he will be back and ready to go. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just cannot thank you enough, my friend, for the incredible honor and opportunity and privilege of filling in for you once again, my friend. To all of you out there, I'm Jeff Kuhner. I'm a columnist at the Washington Times. You can read my work every Wednesday and every Friday at the paper. Go to michaelsavage.com for some of the absolutely most important stories out there. There is one in particular that is at the top of Michael Savage on the right-hand side. It is an absolute must-read. It is, frankly, just sizzling reading. It's from the London Daily Mail. And if you've noticed, before I even get into this story, have you noticed that many stories about Obama's past and background don't come from the American press corps? You actually have to read the British press to understand anything about our president? That to me is just remarkable in and of itself. But here, a story in the London Daily Mail, which you can read on michaelsavage.com. Let me just read to you the title. Documents. Officials warned Obama's father to stop his, quote, playboy ways. Journalists have now looked into Obama's records, and especially those of his father, at the University of Hawaii. And what they're now finding out is that Obama's father was a serial womanizer, a radical leftist, a polygamist. Apparently, he was already married with a child in Kenya when he married Stanley Ann Dunham, Obama's mother. And they're also finding out that he was a notorious playboy. In fact, he was such a sexual predator that people at the University of Hawaii and later at Harvard, in memos found in the Foreign Student Aid Office, wanted this guy kicked out. They wanted to ship him off to Kenya. Now, why is it that the American press will not cover this? Why do they keep trying to shroud Obama in secrecy and they try to prevent the American people from understanding who Obama is, his past, his background, and his family? A couple days ago, as many of you know, the President of the United States got in front of the National Press Corps with the seal of the presidency behind him. And he announced that he was born on August 4th, 1961. And he revealed and showed his long-form birth certificate. Finally, after 2 years. And the press corps jumped with it and said, this is a major defeat for Donald Trump. This is a major defeat for the so-called birther movement. This vindicates Barack Obama completely. In fact, here is Obama in his very own words. Boys, roll clip 23.
I know that there's going to be a segment of people for which, no matter what we put out, this issue will not be put to rest. But I'm speaking to the vast majority of the American people, as well as to the press. We do not have time for this kind of silliness. We got better stuff to do. I've got better stuff to do. We got big problems to solve, and I'm confident we can solve them, but we're going to have to focus on them, not on this. Thanks very much, everybody.
We have much more important stuff to do. So what does he do? Him and Michelle fly off to Chicago to meet that fat woman, Oprah Winfrey, and they literally, with the fat woman, he gives a nice taped interview for one of her shows. Then he heads off to not one, not two, but three fundraisers. That's the more important stuff we have to do. So number one, he's a con man and a liar. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, this is what I find remarkable. You mean to tell me the President of the United States comes out and personally shows the world his long-form birth certificate? He has no sense of the dignity of the Oval Office and the dignity of the position that he occupies. If this is tabloid fare, if this is nothing more than gutter yellow journalism, the whole issue regarding the birth certificate, why doesn't he send Jay Carney? Why doesn't he say send some White House flack to show the birth certificate? But let me get to the heart of the matter. The issue of the birth certificate was never an issue about whether Obama was born in Hawaii or not. If you want to be president of the United States, it is to me the ultimate job interview. You are the mother of all CEOs. You now want to occupy the most powerful, most respected, most influential office, not only in America, in the world. You are not just the leader of America. You are the leader of the free world. Now I ask you, when you apply for a job, they want your CV. They want your resume. They want to know all of your education. They want to know your background. They want to know all of your qualifications to do the job. When I applied for a job at the Washington Times, because I was originally born in Canada, I had to show my birth certificate. In fact, they even wanted me to show proof of my diplomas, my BA and my master's degree. I brought my degrees. I showed them my transcripts. I showed them all of my academic records. That was to be an editor at the Washington Times, never mind the president of the United States. This is not an attempt to smear the president. This is not this is not some secret racist plot, as all of these left-wingers are now running around saying, it's racism, it's racism. Ask Obama to show his birth certificate, it's racism. No. John McCain was born in the Panama Canal. When he got the Republican nomination, he had to go in front of a Senate committee and show his birth certificate. Was that racist? When George Bush, that whole Texas National Guard scandal came out, he had to come out and show his birth certificate. Was that racist? But let me get to the heart of the matter. Obama is the most mysterious president we've ever seen occupy the White House. It's not just his birth certificate that remained unsealed until now. His passport documents, his college records, his academic records, his law school records, his health records, his medical records. He takes a physical every year. Every president in my lifetime has publicly revealed his health and medical records after his physical. He refuses to do that. His schedule, when he was a state senator, the campaign donors that he met with when he was a state senator, even now in the White House, the campaign donors that he's been meeting, that $1 billion that he says he's going to raise for this election alone, we don't know who's putting money in his pockets. Everything about this man, even his undergraduate thesis, remains sealed. What is he hiding? But more than that, we, the American people, have a right to transparency and openness regarding our commander-in-chief. He is the man that's going to send our boys to die. He is the man who's going to make life and death decisions about the United States of America. You mean I can't find out what kind of a student he was? I can't find out who were his intellectual influences? I can't find out the state of his health? I can't find out his background? His wife, Michelle Obama, her law firm records remain under seal. Oh, you mean like Hillary's until we found out about Whitewater? If you have nothing to hide, then you should have full disclosure and full and open transparency. And that's the point. With Obama, the more we find out, it's like peeling a rotten onion, the less we like. We found out he had a 20-year affiliation and association with an anti-American, anti-Semitic pastor, Reverend Wright. We found out that his mentor, Frank Marshall Davis, was an avowed communist. We found out that he was much closer to Bill Ayers, a terrorist who bombed the Pentagon and bombed police buildings, who declared war upon America, was in fact one of his closest and one of his tightest political allies in Chicago. All of that remained hidden, buried, until some conservative investigative reporter pried the truth out. So I asked the mainstream media, why are you covering up for this man? And my friends, let's just take Obama at his word. I'll take him at his word. Let me buy the narrative completely. He was born in Hawaii. He showed us the long form birth certificate. He did it because he wanted all of this, quote, silliness to end. Let me just grant him everything. It wasn't because Trump was breathing down his neck. It wasn't because the issue is now politically hurting him. No. He did it to end all of this silliness. Granted. What kind of a child, what kind of an amoral psychopath, and I'm choosing my words carefully, allows an issue like this to fester year after year, where you send government lawyers, you spend thousands, if not millions of dollars in legal fees, taxpayer dollars, your money, to prevent the long-form birth certificate from being unsealed. And there is a man who is now sitting in prison today that nobody in the mainstream media is talking about, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lackin, an Army doctor, a surgeon, who said, well, you're not releasing your long-form birth certificate. I don't know if you're constitutionally legitimate to be my commander-in-chief. Hence, I will not accept your order to be deployed in Afghanistan. That man was court-martialed. That man is rotting in a prison today. Now I ask you, is that fair? Is that decent? If somebody told me, Jeff, there is a man who doubts your validity or doubts the fact that your birth certificate proves that you shouldn't be the president of the United States, and he's going to go to prison, I'd say, young man, don't destroy your career. Don't throw away your freedom. Here's my birth certificate. Unseal it now. This is how cruel and callous Obama is. The real issue here, my friends, is we have a Marxist in chief in the White House. And he is now plotting and implementing a socialist revolution in front of our very eyes. That is the real high crime and misdemeanor. And so my question to you is a simple one. Do you believe it is legitimate for his college records, his passport documents, his health records to be unsealed? Or is this nothing more than subtle racism, as many in the mainstream media are saying? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Mark in New Mexico, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
It's a pleasure to speak to you, Jeff. You're a real patriot, okay?
Thank you, my friend.
I was thinking to myself, and Donald Trump is right on the money on this, too, as far as the college records and his medical records. You know, we're always told by these traitors like Chris Matthews and a few others, you know, Mr. Tickle, what is it, Trickle going up my leg guy, that what a brilliant guy Obama is. He's one of the smartest man to ever inhabit the White House, right? Yet, we don't know his college records. We don't know anything about the man. Every time he's off his stupid teleprompter, the man sounds like a complete idiot. He sounds even dumber than George Bush. If that's possible.
Mark, you hit it right on the nail, my friend. You hit the nail right on the head. You hit it, I'm telling you, out of the park. November 16, 1990. Google this. Obama was then the president of the Harvard Law Review. Okay? He came out with a statement when he was president of the Harvard Law Review, November 16, 1990. where he said, I have been the beneficiary of affirmative action throughout my entire academic career, including up until me becoming the president of Harvard Law Review. By his own words and admission, he has said that he has been a beneficiary of affirmative action. That's what they're trying to cover up. Because I'm positive, when you reveal those health, college records, those academic records, you're going to see this guy was a failure as a student at Occidental. He was a subpar student at Columbia, and he was a subpar student at Harvard. In other words, he has been riding the back of affirmative action his entire life. He is a fraud. And the whole myth that the media has perpetrated about this man, that he's the Sun King, that he's the liberal messiah, that he's this genius, this political genius, this brilliant constitutional law professor, is going to explode and be destroyed right in front of our very eyes. My friends, this guy was no brilliant student. He was a C student with a C mind peddling an F ideology. And that's what we have in the White House. We have an affirmative action president, and those records will prove it. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the growing call for Obama to show his academic and college records as well as other documents that remain unsealed. Is it racist? This is now what many in the mainstream media are arguing. Here is Bob Schieffer. To me, this guy's like a walking corpse. I didn't know this guy was still alive. Apparently, he's still alive. He's still ticking. There's Bob Schieffer from CBS saying, no, this is all Donald Trump's fault. And the reason why he's calling for his college and academic records on top of the birth certificate, it shows an ugly strain of racism. Boys, roll clip 15.
What Donald Trump said after he said this is out and everything, he said, we need to look at his grades and see if he was a good enough student to get into Harvard Law School. That's just code for saying he got into law school because he's black. This is an ugly strain of racism that's running through this whole thing. We can hope that that kind of comes to an end, too.
Yep. So, you now ask for his college records. That's racist. You ask him to show his birth certificate. That's racist. We know in the 1980s, by his own admission, he traveled to Pakistan. Pakistan in the 1980s was not what it is today. It was run by a hardline anti-American military junta. They didn't want Americans traveling in Pakistan. So how, tell me, does a young schmuck, a college student like Obama, get to travel around Pakistan? Did he use an American passport? Did he use an Indonesian passport? What passport did he use? I think we should look at his passport documents. Is that not relevant? This is, to me, what I find remarkable. Here is a president of the United States who we now obviously see. Forget the politics, whether he's a socialist, not a socialist, whether he's good for America, bad for America, whether you're a progressive or a conservative, he is obviously incompetent. Gas is at $5 a gallon, or nearly. Unemployment is at 8.8%. We have amassed more debt under this man in 2.5 years than we have for the first 200 years of our nation's history. We are losing in not one, not two, but three wars. We have become an international joke. And now they're telling us with a straight face that we can't look into his college and academic records when we looked into Bush's, when we looked into John Kerry's, when we looked into Al Gore's. The New Yorker did a piece on George Bush's grades. That wasn't racist, apparently. The Boston Globe did a piece on John Kerry's academic records, how he was really a B and a C student. Frankly, I'm surprised he got C's. To me, that's that high. I can't believe it. There must have been great inflation. But let that go. That wasn't racist. But now, you ask for this man's academic records. Oh, there's the racism. There it is. The Tea Party movement, racist. You oppose Obamacare, racist. You oppose runaway deficit spending, racist. You oppose financial reform, racist. So let me ask you, all of the liberals out there, if we criticize Obama on anything, is that racist? I guess so, huh? Does the color of his skin mean that he's inoculated and immune from all criticism? We can't hold him to any standards? We can't ask him to show and reveal what every other president has done in modern memory? My friends, the mainstream media, they know perfectly well this man was a subpar student. This man has been carried by affirmative action every step of the way throughout his career. At Occidental College, at Columbia, at Harvard, as a community organizer, as a state senator, you name it, this man has benefited from white guilt, liberal guilt, and affirmative action. And so they don't want these records to be unveiled for one simple reason. The proof will be there for everyone to see. It will be irrefutable. This man was a mediocre student at best, who has benefited from America and from affirmative action and big government programs his entire life. He is not the liberal messiah. He is not some brilliant intellectual politician. He's in fact the opposite. He is nothing but a con and a fraud. That's all he is. He is a shyster masquerading as some sort of liberal intellectual. And so that's why they're covering up. Look at Valerie Jarrett, the president's top advisor. She's now coming out and saying, you know what? We showed you the long form birth certificate, but that's it. You ain't going to see anything else. Those college records, those academic records, no way are you going to see those transcripts. Boys, roll clip 12.
We know this is nonsense. He's almost 50 years old, and he's president of the United States, and I don't think anybody would debate his intelligence. And so now we do need to get serious and get back to focusing on what's important.
Tell me, when Reagan ran for president, he was in his late 60s. People wanted to find out his academic records. When Bush ran, he was 50-ish. That wasn't a question then. Now he's 50. He's 50, so we can't look into his academic background because you know what? We all know that he's intelligent. No, we don't. But again, whether he is or isn't, that's not even the issue. We want openness and transparency. If you, sir, want to send young men and women to die, you want to be our president, our commander-in-chief, you owe it to you, to the office of the presidency, and most importantly, to the people of the United States, to show us you have all the qualifications that is needed to be the president. Your life must be an open book. That's not racism. That's patriotism and common sense. And the fact that the administration won't release those records, and worst of all of these so-called journalists in Washington who are refusing for him to unseal all of these documents, you're supposed to be journalists. Notice on Trump, have you noticed? Notice that the last couple of days, every business deal is now being scrutinized. How he did in school, they want his transcripts. They want his financial records. They want his tax receipts. Everything is now fair game. But when it comes to this guy, no. How can you dare ask how he was as a student? Racist. My friends, when the liberals start to use the race card, that means they have lost the argument. Samuel Johnson, the great conservative philosopher, once said, "Patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel." No, he was wrong. Playing the race card is the last refuge of the scoundrel. And that's what these liberals are. They're scoundrels and traitors. And my friends,
We have a right to know. And playing the race card is not going to stop us from getting to the bottom of who this man is. 1-800-449-8255. Do you think Obama should unseal his academic records, his health records, and all other documents? Or do you think it's a form of racism to ask him? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to our busy phone lines. Mark in Hawaii, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
I just wanted to say I agree with you on everything except one thing is a little bit wrong. In Hawaii, they do not release the long form ever. I live here. I can't even get mine. It's a policy. So what he produced 3 years ago was an official document.
No, I know that, Mark. The short form is what's considered official in Hawaii. But my question to you is a simple one. He just showed it now. He's the president of the United States. If he was able to show it now, why didn't he show it 2 years ago? And for God's sakes, see, this is what I find remarkable. This issue has hounded him for 2 years. It had up until this point, it has cast a shadow on his presidency. How much money was invested? The lawyers that he sent out. Remember, this is on your dime. You're paying for it. The time in the court system that's used up that could have been used for other cases. He obstructed every attempt to have that long form birth certificate unsealed, revealed. Why? To play political games? I know why. The White House said this is a political winner for us. Keep this issue festering. Keep it going. Keep it burning. Keep the pot burning. So we can portray our opponents and critics as kooks, as conspiracy nutcases. That's why they did it. Until the Donald came along. And they said, no. It's no longer a winner for us. It's now a loser. So suddenly, boom, he puts his $7. He plunks down his $7. And there's the long form birth certificate. But even more than that, to repeat this point, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lackin, you play politics with a young man's life? You could have $7. Hell, I would have paid for the $7. Here's the long form birth certificate, kid. Come on, young man. Don't throw your life away. Don't throw your career away. A man who's going to serve his country, who is going to go there and actually help wounded warriors. He was a surgeon, for God's sakes. You let him rot in jail because he refused to be deployed because he wanted to see your long form birth certificate? That's the child. That's the psychopath. That's the thinking of this man in the White House. Did you notice when he came on stage, when he made his announcement, did you see the smirk? Did you see the way for him was all fun and games? This man is playing politics with this republic, with people in our armed forces. How dare he? Mr. President, this is not some game in the south side of Chicago. Okay? I know you love your gala dinners. And I know you love to party like nobody else. And I know it's one vacation after another. And it's Paul McCartney and Elton John. It's always party night in the White House. I understand that. For you, it's all one big game. But there are people dying to defend this country. And there is one man, a patriot, who now rots in jail because of you. My friends, this is serious business. And when we ask for the president to have full disclosure, it's not because we're out to humiliate him. It's because we need to know what kind of a man sits in the White House. American lives depend on it. Let's go to Julie in Montana. Julie, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks. I just want to say Michael Savage is a national treasure. Love him. Hey, the one thing I want to say, though, is I've been listening to all the talking heads and every talks about Obama. And, you know, the bottom line is that I'm an arch conservative. But it's the American people that are to blame. You know, I went and I'm a real estate agent, and I went to switch a power from one to me, and I had to give him my social security number. So how does a guy get to be president without a birth certificate? It's one of the requirements. It's because the American people are so stupid that the education in our schools. You know, there's no morals, and you can just
I mean, these people are being, we'll just vote for anybody. I mean, why not vote for me? I mean, I could do a better job than he's doing. And then here comes Donald Trump, who, you know, is a great businessman. You know, he's pro-life, which is a big thing for me and all conservatives. He's not for gay marriage. And, you know, people start, you know, getting on him. Well, guess why? Because he can think linear thoughts and he's a good business. Why don't we vote for him? And
Julie, look, my grandmother could do a better job than this guy, than Obama. I mean, this to me is what is remarkable. It was open and naked for everybody to see in 2008. Yeah, look, I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to stand here and tell, you know, and stroke your ego and tell all of you, oh, you guys are all brilliant out there. Oh, yeah, Americans are just brilliant. Oh, we're just brilliant. Oh, my God, we're the most intelligent people on earth. Are you kidding me? We are becoming an international laughingstock under this guy. I took one look at him and I said, this guy's a third-rate constitutional law professor. This guy's a walking disaster. This guy, to me, obviously benefited from affirmative action his entire life. For his entire life, on everything, including the campaign, including the White House. Tell me, who becomes president of the United States with no singular accomplishment in his life? Nothing. Nothing. Was he a brilliant professor? No. Did he write several outstanding books? No. Was he a brilliant state senator? No. Was he a brilliant senator with a big record, a list of legislative accomplishments? No. And you elect this guy to run your economy, to run your lives, to send your men and women, your sons and daughters to war? My friends, we are living through the late days of the Roman Empire. That's what's happening in America. And that's why enough is enough. It is time to send him and his entire gangster regime packing right back to the south side of Chicago. In fact, right to the very neighborhood of Al Capone and all these other mafiosis that Chicago has produced. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Let's go to James in Sacramento. James, you're the last call of the night, my friend. Make it good. You're on the Savage Nation.
Like you said, the president needs to be very transparent. There are laws when they go into running to be president that they have to be born in the United States. They need to be open books. Yes, they run for a party, but once they become president, they're representing our entire nation from the bottom up. They're in charge of us.
That's the most, James, that's the most racist statement I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I can't, you're oohing racism there. I can't believe you're saying that. I can't believe it. No, I mean, it's such common sense. I just find this unbelievable. When I applied for a job at the Washington Times, and thank the Lord I got it, 11 years ago now, blood tests, urine tests, drug tests, transcripts, diplomas. When I applied for my work visa from Canada, I had to show a birth certificate. I had to show my health records, my medical records, my academic records. I had to physically, I kid you not, drive to the border with my diplomas. I had to show them my diplomas. They can actually see it. They took photocopies of it. They inspected it to make sure it wasn't a fake or a forgery. That's for a lousy, dinky job. Then it was a small-time, low-level job at the Washington Times. So my point to the president is a simple one, to the dear leader. If it's good enough for Jeff Cooner to be editor of the Washington Times, it's good enough for you if you're going to be president of the United States. I'm not asking whether he has sex with Michelle every night. I'm not asking him that. I'm not asking how good the sex is. I'm not asking him how much rolls of toilet paper, how many tissues of toilet paper he uses when he goes to the bathroom. I'm not asking that. I'm not asking that so obviously intimate and something that's none of my business. You say, well, no, a man has a right to certain privacy. I'm not asking that. Your college records, your law school records, your law firm records,
your records when you were a state senator, who you saw, what donors you saw, the schedule you had, your passport documents. That's all I'm asking. I don't think I'm asking for the sky here. So you know that there is a conspiracy to cover up for this man. They covered up for him in 2008. They have been covering up for him throughout his entire presidency. And now that Donald Trump has emerged and said, we want to find out his college records, they're covering up for him again. My friends, that's why you need the Savage Nation. Because we will ask questions, and Michael will ask questions that nobody else will. To all of you, God bless you, God bless America, and God bless this greatest country on the face of the earth. I'm Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.